This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Capaccio.
Sell!
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 Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio joins us on the Western Hotline as we dip into his series at our website, WGR550.com, State of the Buffalo Bills, tight ends. Before we do that, Sal, how'd you like the Americans last night? Did you watch a little bit of the Four Nations? You enjoying it?
Watched every minute of it, actually. I watched. Nice. I was dialed into it. I really wanted to see it. We have been here, you know. We Max and I, we watched the most of the first two periods together, and then I watched the end of it after he went to bed. And I woke up this morning and said, hey, after all that, it was 6-1. He's like, what? Listen, I mean, this is really good hockey. I love it. I did not love the blue jerseys and white helmets. It was on that one right away. So right. I don't know. Somebody said, well, if you go blue and blue, I don't know how all that looks. I think I'd rather have that. I looked back. Canada wore all red with a black helmet. So I do think the darker helmet with the darker jersey looks good. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, it was great. And, I mean, who had Henry Jokiharju obviously scoring for Finland to open up the game, right?
If we're on jerseys, the Canada-Sweden jersey matchup was a million times better than last night's matchup. It wasn't just the U.S. Like, it looked like two teams wearing a home and road set. It was a very drab look.
Well, you know why why I love Sweden, too, for this? Is you never get white.
It's always
right?
blue
it's
or yellow.
It's always color on color, which I want more of in sports. And one area you're always going to get it is that, because Sweden only has a blue jersey and a yellow jersey.
Makes like
they I don't think they've ever worn white. So that all helps. Right. Yeah, I guess I didn't notice the white helmets though. I think Sal's onto something. If it was just blue on blue, yeah, it would look a little cleaner. Canada did wear black helmets the night before on red, but then black pants too. So even that kind of looks, I think, Sal, a little cleaner.
Yeah, you're right. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to Saturday, obviously. Should be really fun. This is it. This is cool. This is a cool little tournament. My biggest question was how intense it would be. And, I mean, like, it's been pretty intense. Now, it's not necessarily just like a regular season game and a lot of times, but sometimes you get those moments where, oh, yeah, these guys, this is it. Here we go. It's definitely not like an all-star game. I'll say that.
Yep. Well, Sal, you've got a piece up on our website as we kind of shift gears to football. State of the tight end position you're going to be doing. Is offensive line drop today as well?
Yeah, it does. And actually, we can talk about that since I won't be on with you guys, obviously, after today. And if you want to, I could just give a preview of that because I'll be putting that up today. It's almost done, actually. I'm just finishing up the last little bit. And what's funny about offensive line is it's typically my longest. This year, it's certainly not, and it's one of the shorter ones. Might be long only because of the number of names. They have, 14 total guys. But the reason why it's typically the longest is, A, you have a lot of names, but B, because you generally have quite a few guys who have some contractual situations. That's not the case this year, guys. It's amazing. The Bills' offensive line, they have 12 players under contract for next year already, and the only two who aren't are Will Clapp, who's a veteran guard who was on the practice squad most of the year, and Tommy Doyle, whose career is up in the air, unfortunately, because of injuries. That's it. Like every other player on the offensive line. So honestly, when it comes to the state of the offseason of the Bills' offensive line, there's really no state to discuss because everybody's under contract.
Right. So with the tight ends, Sal, reading through it, I mean, it is going to be this coming offseason and this coming regular season. How big is it going to be for Dalton Kincaid? Not even just for like the Bills and their offense, but even for him, right? Because won't they, correct me if I'm wrong, won't after next year be when they will have to decide on like a fifth-year option for him?
Yeah. Yep, after next year. So by May of 2026, after next season, they'll have to decide on a fifth-year option for Dalton Kincaid. If he has a really great third year, I would think they would say, okay, we'll exercise that. That'll give us a year and time to figure it out, like they did with, you know, Greg Rousseau after 3 years. You know, after 3 years, Greg Rousseau was a really nice player. He wasn't like, oh my God, you got to make sure you lock this guy up long term. But nice enough to say, hey, let's not let him go into the fourth year of his contract. Let's lock him up. And, you know, I think that's what you want of Dalton Kincaid. If you get to a point where that's the decision, I think that's a good year for Dalton Kincaid. Now, you'd love even beyond that and say, okay, here we go. We really got something that special here. If we're talking next year at this time, guys, and we're talking about the Bills probably not exercising that fifth-year option, then I don't think it went all that well for Dalton Kincaid in year number three. But I think it needs to for everyone involved, as you just said.
What do you think happened, Sal? Like, why did he, you know, there are going to be reasons for this. I know injury is going to be one of them, too. Mm-hmm. He goes from, I think it was the second largest drop that I had found in NFL history in catch percentage from 1 year to the next by a tight end. And part of that is because, again, like it's the largest drop. Part of that is because he was so high the year before. Like, yeah, it was one of the highest percentages ever in his rookie year. So that was going to happen. But why do you think it happened? Like, why eight drops? Why was he near the top of the league in drop percentage? Why, you know, there's numbers about uncatchable numbers between him and Josh. Like, it's just kind of weird, I think, that all of that came together in his second season.
The catch percentage, there's a lot of things here. There's different parts of why did this happen or why did that happen. I mean, now you correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember too many times where it was, oh my God, that hit him right in the hands. He has to catch it. It seemed to me like it was always just a little bit off here or there with him and Josh, right? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like the catch percentage stuff that went down, I think you could put some of that on the throw. You could put some of that in Dalton. That's fine. I'm not blaming either guy or saying it's one or the other fault. What I am saying is, though, I don't remember any that, oh my God, he had to have that. How did he catch? How did he not catch that? There were a couple. There was one, I think, late in the season against maybe the Jets. He dove. It was in his hands maybe as he's falling to the ground. Okay, you got to have those. There's no doubt. The one at the end of the season we could talk about and we have against Kansas City. It seemed like there were some of those, but a lot of it was, oh, just out of his hands. Oh, he made a great effort. And it didn't come up. And what is, I don't know the reason for that. I don't know why they were a little bit off. Now, the other parts of it, of just overall, the overall numbers, he had two knee injuries. We found out at the end of the season. One was a PCL he was playing through. He had fluid buildup in his other knee. And I just think, guys, I go back to when they drafted him, he really was a big part of this 12 personnel they were going to employ, him and Dawson Knox, mismatches, Ken Dorsey's offense. And that never materialized, partly because Dawson got hurt. And that's why Dalton actually had start of a resurgence, a big, you know, jump in his second half of his rookie year. And then you fire Dorsey, you move to Joe Brady, and in year number two, they go to this everybody eats mentality. And now you're not highlighting your first round tight end who you actually drafted to probably have these mismatches and highlights. And I just think that part of the puzzle never came together.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Part of me wonders, Sal, if they're interested in changing the type of player that he is, right? Because the idea of him getting bigger and stronger, he's got his play strength is something they're talking about. And yep. Sometimes, it's not often that teams do this. I'm going all the way back to like Willis McGahee or who... Because he gained weight and became a different runner a little bit later in his career. Who was it that a couple years ago, Sal, for the Bills, decided just to gain 20 pounds of muscle? And the conversation was, did the team tell you to do that? Did you decide to do that?
Didn't Epinesa do that?
That might have been the guy. A player will just decide, I want to be stronger in this way. I want to do this. And it might affect a lot of different things about their body. And I wonder if the Bills would look at Kincaid and say, like, listen, he's a great pass catcher. Maybe the idea of him being some crazy athletic tight end is something we should not quite punt on, but shift him more towards the traditional tight end that is not such a liability in the blocking game.
Yeah, liability in the blocking game is interesting. I don't know if I've heard him. I don't know if he is a liability in the blocking game. I think he could be better in the blocking game. I think he's actually not a bad blocker, especially for his size. But I do think gaining strength would help him be more of a matchup when he's on the field. I do think that, you know, when he's on the field, it's different than when Dawson Knox is on the field, right? That maybe you do, okay, you see Dawson out there of your defense, you have a little bit more of a threat that he's going to be more of that blocker. That is not as much Dalton, but I don't think Dalton's a bad blocker for what they ask him to do. He could be better at it, no doubt. Yes, you make a good point. Boy, if that's the case, I don't know. That's to me, I think they drafted him to be a mismatch field stretching tight end, an athletic tight end. And I don't think you have to give that up by gaining strength and getting bigger. And, you know, guys are able to do that as they go out their career. You know, if they go through their career. I mean, I know he's older than what Lindy said to you guys when he was referring to the Tyler Myers example years ago. I don't have my man strength yet. I know that that's not the case with these guys. And they're in the NFL in their early 20s. These aren't teenagers. But I do think that there's time in the room to grow here for Dalton Kincaid to become bigger and stronger. So, I think you have to try to thread that needle. Here's what I think has to happen, too, guys. I think Joe Brady's got to do a good job and better job of saying, I have this really good tight end we drafted in the first round who's got this great skill set. Maybe it doesn't have to be just always everybody eats and who cares. Maybe it's I need to throw it to him every once in a while and give him, you know, 8 to 9 catches a game because he's going to be a difference maker.
Yeah, and maybe, too, like, I wonder how involved Brady would be in, you know, him getting bigger and stronger. I also wonder that could just be, you know, he plays, even as a tight end that plays a lot in the slot, Sal, like he still plays half of his snaps in line. So that could just be wear and tear. Can you go through a season without getting banged up because you're going at linebackers and edge players a lot? But if I'm Brady, like who do I want him mismatched against? Have I learned through 2 years maybe what he, like do I want him with his size advantage against nickel corners? Or do I want to start using him, not all the way like George Kittle, but what is George Kittle in San Francisco? That's him going up against linebackers and linebackers not being able to cover him.
But doesn't he get that?
I think you do more often when the guy's lined up like a real tight end.
Right, right. Kittle is the best two-way tight end in the league.
Right.
And, I mean, Kincaid's never going to be that.
That's why I'm not saying you go all the way towards that. I just wonder if there would be more of an emphasis of, we're going to play you less in the slot. We want to get you matched up on linebackers more often because we think that's how you're going to use athleticism more so than use kind of your frame.
So how do you get him matched up on linebackers? You get him a little bit bigger and a little bit more of a threat to block. So the team, so the defense has to match him up on a linebacker. You have to dictate that matchup a little bit more. When Dalton Kincaid is on the field, let's go back to what I was saying a little while ago. When Dalton Kincaid is on the field, the other team treats it more maybe as, okay, it's more of a run, it's more of a pass play, not a run play. If you can have them respect more of, hey, he might have to block and we might run here, then now all of a sudden you get an extra linebacker on the field instead of him matched up against a corner, and now you do that. That's why I think it's a really fascinating discussion. I don't know the answer to it, but I do think they have to figure that out. That's definitely part of it.
I don't mean to just make this all about him getting bigger this offseason, Sal, but let's get this to Knox a little bit too. Do you think any element of that is this could be the last year, given the contract stuff, for Dawson Knox here, and maybe they would want Kincaid to be able to do more of what Knox does in the future?
So I would say it this way. I think that any discussion about Dawson Knox and his future, I think, is well to be determined. I do not think this team is going into 2024 with that in mind, Joe. No, and here's why. If you listen to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean at the end of the season, that's the one guy I came away with going, oh my God, they love him. Like they really like having him around. And that, yes, his contract is tough. And I wrote about this. He's scheduled to make $14 million on the cap. Dawson Knox, the seventh highest cap hit for any tight end in the league next year. But you know the only way that they might be able to kind of maneuver that, besides getting rid of him, which you're not going to do because it would be way too cost prohibitive and they like him too much, they might actually have to give him an extension and then lower those numbers,
right?
To be honest with you. You know what I mean?
I
don't think the team is in that. In fact, I'd go the opposite. I think the team is more in the mold of, we want Dawson Knox here for more years than we're only going to keep him for one more year.
While also not making him, like, he wouldn't have the seventh highest cap hit if they were to
correct.
Do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
An extension or a restructure, I think, could save about $6 to $7 million.
That's a chunk.
Yes, it is.
Yes, the restructure is tough, though, because if you look at all the money due over the next 2 years, there's really nowhere to put the money.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, unless you do it this year, then you're just going to take a massive cap hit next year. But that takes me to, well, then why do that? Just give them an extra year or two, because then you can actually, spread the money out. So Dawson Knox only had 22, by the way, very oddly, 2 years in a row, exactly 22 catches for Dawson Knox, right? He only had 22 catches. He didn't have this incredible, year catching the ball. But I would say, and I think you guys agree, he was their most steady and reliable tight end. And they used him when they needed to use him. But I'm telling you, after the way Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talked about Dawson Knox at the end of the year, like, this is a guy who's a core piece for them. And I think that they want him around for a few more years.
As the season went on, he stretched the field more. Like, a lot of big plays, 20-plus yards. It was his career high in yards per reception. So maybe that would be more like the specialized role, too. And then quickly, is there anything like bottom of the roster, like Morris Davidson?
Yeah, Quentin Morris is a restricted free agent. The only way they can keep him before he hits, well, basically here's what happens. They have to offer him a tender of, they're not going to do a first or second round tender. It would have to be one of the equal rights, right of first refusal. But even that's over $3 million. Now, look, I would not totally dismiss that, guys. He is he's generally the first or second guy behind Reggie Gilliam in special team snaps on this team. And they paid Saran Neal a couple years ago, for that role. I still think it's unlikely. So what you probably do there is you go to him and you say, hey, let's work out a 2-year deal for less money than the three a year. Or, okay, just you can go to unrestricted free agency, see what's out there, and then come back. That's probably more likely. And then they have Zach Davidson, who's going to come back and fight for a job. He doesn't offer much in special teams. He's more along the lines of a Dalton Kincaid than a Dawson Knox. And because of no special teams, it's tough with Quentin Morris, but we'll see where that goes. He's more of a guy to fill in and an injury replacement and one of the top two guys. And then they did sign a dual threat quarterback in college named Armani Rogers, at UNLV and Ohio a few years ago, who came into the league and then transitioned to tight end with the Washington Commanders. And I didn't realize until I was on my show up in the Bulldog, he's actually the son of Sam Rogers, who used to play linebacker for the Bills and was born in Buffalo. But Armani Rogers is on the roster as on a futures deal.
Sal Capaccio, his series, State of the Bills, continues at our website, WGR550.com. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
Tight ends up today. Offensive line going up soon. And then shifting gears to the defense. Jeremy and Joe, give us a ring if you want. 803-0550. There's a game. I owe you the pick of the week. I'll get you the pick of the week because number one meets number two. And the sport it's happening in made me do a double take. That's next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.